interesting.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week and spend this hour with you wherever you are, anywhere in the world. And it's been very, very trying times with the COVID and all that's going on all over the world, and such a lot of uncertainty, a lot of anxiety, and very, very important for us to try to stay as focused as we can, because the world will go on and we will make it. But it's easier said than done. Today, I'm really excited. We are going to be discussing our most important home, planet Earth, and combating soil degradation and hypoxic zones, saving our planet. Dr. James Faller has been on many times talking about CO2 and other scientific issues, et cetera, and so we have some other scientists on today. When we talk about our most important home, planet Earth, CO2 is a big issue we're going to get into, and hypoxic zones that are being depleted in a way that's just not sustainable. Way back, there's certain natural parts to this, and then there's parts that are being caused because of what we're doing to our environment, and I'll let our scientists explain that to us today. Dead zones are hypoxic zones in the world's oceans and large lakes, which causes these bodies of water to fail to support the marine life living there. We're so fortunate for scientists like the gifted, caring, wonderful people coming on our show today who have committed years of their lives to find solutions. Dr. Geetha Plackel, a PhD from India, focuses on ocean zoology and ocean health. Dr. Henry Wanyama, PhD from Johannesburg, South Africa, he works on agricultural sustainable development models and more. James Boyd Faller, he's a mechanical design engineer, president and CEO of World Alliance for Planetary Health. He's been working on this for years and bringing all of the pieces together. He's also the author of Out of Balance. And without further ado, I'm going to welcome you all. And James, you want to start first with us and kind of fill us in on what we're doing? I'm so excited that you're going to be here and be able to tell our audience how they can help as well. So,
thank you, Natalie. Yes. There's huge problems coming at us, like at lightning speed. What's happening all over the world is an imbalance to how we use resources first. And that imbalance grows when nature's implications begin to interact with the way we use these resources. So we're consumers, and consuming resources in a growth economy can only take and use so many resources. So what we're left is, how do we make it sustainable? How do we turn this around and make it more symbiotic, which means we both benefit, nature and humankind benefit. So the implications from nature tell us how we should act. And that is not being done. That's not being afforded, because we're cutting down rainforests around the world. We're cutting down the things that keep us viable as a humanity, as a species. And if we cut those out and don't replace, then it compounds on top of nature, and nature tries to correct. And when that correction takes place, we get viruses. A virus is correction. And nature's like saying, okay, community, we have to correct for this. And it sends out a virus. And the virus gives us, gives our bodies the ability to correct to the community situation. And it's all an integrated system that is very complex on many, many levels. And what we need to do is be collective rather than being what they're saying, you know, stretching us out. You know, these rules are not conducive to nature. We are not a kind of people that just leave, you know, to say, this will take care of itself.
So the actual viruses are coming in. The viruses we're seeing are nature being messed with in an improper balance, right? So it's causing its. That's interesting. That's very interesting. That's interesting. So when we go back to, say, for example, the CO2, we discussed before on another show, all the trees, and there's been, like, what, in the last 40 or 50 years, massive amount of trees taken out. And one of the things you were doing also was working with other scientists and areas of putting back the trees in, right? That's gonna help sustain and make changes over the next 40 plus years, correct? I'm just kind of going back a little bit to how that is going to really help bring this in, right?
It's immensely important to realize that we've made errors, and those errors are correctable, but we need to collectively do these errors together. And the way to do that is to get, you know, our science in line with nature, because nature is telling us we're out of line, out of balance. So we need to get back into balance. And to do that, trees are absolutely, from pre-industrial age, 6 million square miles of rainforest, we now have approximately 2.3 million square miles left. That's a huge dose of change to nature. So what does nature do? Nature corrects. It corrects its program to balance what it has left. And it's not going to be enough if we keep doing what we're doing. Dr. Henry, are you on?
So now we've got Dr. Geetha Plakka is on. Dr. Geetha Plakka is on. Hi, Dr. Plakka. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Hi, Natalie, and all. Hey.
I know it's late.
I'm
very, very,
happy.
Very late there.
I'm very happy. Yeah. It's a trouble to connect with you because more bad weather here in rainy season.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Puckle's calling in from India right now, and we are so privileged to have you on. And Dr. Henry Wanyama, he's in Johannesburg and was just on a few minutes ago. He's having some connectivity issues too, so he'll be back on as well. So, James, go ahead. I guess you want to, Dr. Plakka, and James was just telling us about the some of the issues we're having with the Earth and how we can make changes. And so we're going to go over today the CO2 and hypoxic zones and how they're being depleted and what you all are working on, because you are just amazing how collectively you've been working around the world together on these projects and making differences.
Thank you, Shannon. Thank you. I'm very glad to join with all of you.
Yes, Dr. Geetha, would you like to explain the hypoxic zones, what's happening with those?
Yeah, I'm just talking about the hypoxic zones, and it impacts on the marine life. Actually, the dead zone or hypoxic zone is an area of an ocean or lake that has too little oxygen or hypoxic. That means it not support marine life. Generally, this phenomenon is increasing in shallow and coastal estuarine waters globally due to the anthropogenic activities. Why do these zones formation is in these waters around the globe? What is the reasons? Mainly, the eutrophication is the major reason for the formation of dead zone. And it's due to the doubling of nitrogen and triplets of phosphorus by human activities in increasing on land. This reached into the aquatic ecosystems by stormwater and flood. And it creates some algal blooms, dangerous algal blooms in aquatic ecosystems, coastal waters or marine waters. Yeah, it's mainly affect all marine life.
It mainly
because main sources of these pollutions on marine or ocean water is the fertilizers from lawn and agriculture on land, and sewage outputs and industrial factories, etc. These all nutrients may lead to this formation of eutrophication, and it results in algal bloom.
That's hard. That's, yeah.
Massive algae bloom. Sometimes it may be harmful for marine life, and always sometimes known as red bloom, red tide in marine area. The major threats of these algal blooms are fish kills, shellfish poisoning
fish
in humans, and birding birds and marine mammals. And it blocks the sunlight and use of all oxygen in that area. And think of this algae in bottom water, that using remaining oxygen in the bottom for decomposition activity. Totally, this all creates the problem for all marine life in that area. That is the problems of dead zone in marine or coastal waters in globally. And it is increasing very in large, higher percentage. Yeah.
I noticed in the United States, in Florida, they talk about red tide in a lot of areas and in many different areas. So that's, I'm familiar with that.
Recently found an area in Arabian Sea near Oman. It is the largest in the world, the dead zone.
Mm.
And in 2018, scientists reported the area is dead zone or desert formation in that area. It's a consequences in marine life, and it will also affect our economy, our fisheries production, etc. Because we know the without oxygen, the organisms will be dead or migrate from that area. It will be affect the other organisms too in that area. In any organisms, absence of any organisms may affect the next or other level organisms living in other level also. So that we need to avoid the leaching of fertilizers from land to the aquatic ecosystems. We know James and we are working in a Green Sahara Project group or planetary health group, and we found a fertilizer for plant growth, and it can increase the immunity in plant also. And I wish to recommend this fertilizer for avoiding of leaching from land to the aquatic ecosystems of fertilizers. That is the major problem. And our product is good for to avoid the leaching, and it will be remain in land after application in agricultural field. Yeah.
So your product, like, explain, how does the product work? Does it actually, I mean, does it, how does it work? It goes into the ocean, into the land. What does it do?
Yeah, it's
okay.
It's a bioerodic. Okay. Please carry on, James.
Okay, the product, Ali Kavadi, PhD in microbiology, created from coal, which keeps the microbials alive, to the fields. And it's in a, it's like a little ball, you know, it's pellets that hold life inside that pellet. And the pellet has coal substrate around it, which feeds these microbials until they get to the farming field. What's important is we're not putting artificial dead stuff that, you know, like artificial salts and nitrogen into the soil. This microbial releases the nutrient base in the soil to release nitrogen, to release phosphorus, you know, all the things that the plants need. Increases nutrient base, increases the humic acid content, which is the basis for rhizomes and how they interact with the root systems with plants. So the nutrient base increases, and this is what our product does. It increases the potential of the soil by putting life back into the soil, which artificial fertilizers are killing and faking out over time, where we become desert makers with agriculture. So we're reversing that. We're putting life back into the soils.
And coal is part of this answer, right? The coal that like when I'm thinking coal from coal mines, I just want to be correct.
Yes, coal and coal ash, coal tailings is what we're starting with to clean up the mess from power plants. They have, you know, byproduct called waste ash. And we use that. We use that for our formulation. And this does not, the important thing is it does not leach out of the soils. You could have a flood like we had last year. We had floods in the United States. It caused huge, huge amounts of disruption to the Gulf of Mexico and the hypoxic zones there that were created from these runoff of artificial fertilizers that were in the soils. So we're correcting, and it's not going to allow this leaching action into the waterways. So we're correcting for the leaching aspect and the salting aspect of artificial fertilizers that do their damage and pollution through salting and leaching of excess nitrates and phosphates.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you'll be able to listen to this.
I'm just merging. Okay, there we go. Okay, we just merged Dr. Wainama into the call.
Okay.
Sorry, we're taking a 20-second break there to be able to merge you in, so we're all good now. Awesome. So now we also have Dr. Henry Wainama on the call from Johannesburg. Welcome, sir. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
To our show.
Thank you.
Thank you. I know our the technology isn't always perfect, so this is wonderful to be able to have you all on from different parts of the world.
Good.
Yes.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Geetha Palkleckel and James Fowler have just been discussing the hypoxic zones and the product that is going to help this, that can help this, the coal product. So I'm going to turn it over to James again and Dr. Geetha, and we'll roll.
Okay.
Okay. What I was finishing up on was the hypoxic zones and how they're created, through floodings and things like that. The polar vortex began just getting out of hand, which caused all this rain and all this fertilizer that's in these farm fields to flood over into the main delta. The main delta is the Mississippi River, which all drains into the Gulf of Mexico. And last year we had over, it was 8,000 plus square miles of dead zone, or hypoxic zone is the scientific word, but it's really dead bottoms. And there's no fish, nothing can live there. There's not enough oxygen, as Dr. Keith was explaining. And this is happening all over the world. This is happening wherever you're using artificial fertilizer. So recognizing this, we must collectively change our thought pattern, change our education in agriculture. And Dr. Wanyama can really explain, you know, a good venue idea of how to go about doing this. And I think it's a good time for Dr. Henry to come in and explain that aspect.
Great.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Good. Can I go ahead? Hello.
Yeah, so that's great.
Ahead.
Okay, so Dr. Henry, you're on now. You can tell us. That would be great.
Yeah. Thank you. So one of the things that we concerned with is uplifting societies or communities. Now, if we have to uplift communities, we got to make sure that they are involved in the activities of the day. Should be able to produce their food and all that. Now, synthetic fertilizer that is used by commercial farmers and all that is quite expensive. Apart from it being destructive to the soil, most of the soils that have been found for many years are actually dead. And what that means is that there's very little natural material in the soil. So it is so dependent on synthetic fertilizer. If you cannot use synthetic fertilizer, the soil won't support, crops to mature and help communities. So that is a huge problem. On one hand, it makes it difficult for poor communities to produce their own food because they cannot manage it. It's expensive. On the other hand, the soil is dead. So in terms of looking into the future, it is not a material that will help us. So recognizing all that, what we're saying is, how do we then bring communities on board and so that we can work together to regenerate the soil? Now, one way of regenerating the soil is actually using natural materials or organic materials, because then they help the soils to recover. It takes a bit of time, 3, 4, 5 years, depending on how destroyed the soil is. But educating communities, so members of community, from communities, to take care of the soil in itself is encouraging them to sustain themselves, to sustain the soil, to feed themselves. Now, there has been, and it's a very popular notion, we talk about climate change as the biggest threat. Just to digress a bit, but climate change is a causation. It's a result. It's not the problem. Now, if the soils cannot support plants, surely it will die, and the effect is reflected in, dwindling forests, dwindling animal, flora and fauna. So if we can educate communities for them to understand that soil, just like any other thing, has life, needs to be protected so that it can be utilized to feed you today and tomorrow and the years to come, then we halfway through because everybody then involved starts treating the soil as a living organism, because it supports life.
Right.
And the
right.
interaction between the organisms that live in the soil and the soil itself depend on each other through aeration, water retention, and things like that. So in our program, what we're doing, we're working with commercial agriculture cooperatives. So we support them at different levels. First of all, encourage them to use organic fertilizer as opposed to synthetic fertilizer as a process of regenerating the soil. Avoid using chemicals to spray their products.
No chemicals.
What has happened over time, is there is always, you know, the overrating of some of the crops that have come into the market, genetically modified foods. But what that
Which
does
is
that you
right?
will harvest, it is quite dangerous in the sense that it will give you a lot of harvest, but in the process of that, it kills other living organisms that support the soil. So you can harvest so much in the next 10 years. Beyond that, animals, whether it is those that help in pollination or those that help in aerating the soil, die off. Once those ones are dead, then you have grossly interfered with the natural processes, the natural cycles of these supporting the systems, whether it's a soil system, the water system, the forest, and all that. Interfering with that process means the very foundations that we rely on, which is soil.
Wow. Wow, that's... James and Dr. Pathy, if you want to take over, I'm going to get Dr. Henry back into the call. It appears the call dropped, and we'll get him back there real quickly.
Okay. Dr. Henry was, he's explaining some levels here that are very, very deep in nature that are not corrective at a certain point. Dr. Geetha, can you explain some of the areas, the hypoxic zones, how serious it is to marine life and what the conditions are at this time?
Yes. And I think this type of dead zones were found in different areas in globally. And something is some areas near in USA, northern Gulf of Mexico, and there is a lot of animals were dead by these dead zones in that area. It covered 8,500 square miles in 2002, and now it's growing in a big large area. And also, I heard from Brother James. Just sent to me some discoveries in last week. They sampled in that area, and they find out it's growing in 12,500 or something square miles in growing is in a large area. And in some area in Chesapeake Bay, each year in this area, 40% of area is growing, and 5% of its volume it will become very dangerous to marine life in that area also. And in also some scientists have found it in the Black Sea, Eastern Tropical Pacific Ocean, and the Northern Indian Ocean and Arabian Sea, etc. And these all are affecting marine life. Yeah, all are affecting marine life.
Mm-hmm.
Very dangerously. It will lead to the migration of organisms. Or
Dr. Henry's back in. I'm so sorry that we've been going back and forth, but it's just important to have you all on the calls today. And technology is wonderful, but not perfect, right? So Dr. Henry Wanyama is back on. This is so educational, and I just cannot believe, it just seems like it should be illegal that we're able to put bad fertilizer in our ground. It just doesn't even seem like we should, it should be possible, and it's happening every day. So go ahead and turn it over.
Okay, Dr. Henry, you want to finish up?
Yes, can I continue?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Yeah, so just to mention that synthetic fertilizer in itself is been used for a while. The promoters of it, the manufacturers of it, would want to see their product sell. What they don't tell the farmers using it is that it kills the soil to the point where the soil becomes dependent on it, such that if it's not there, that soil is useless in the sense that it cannot support the crops that are being grown in it. It leaches the natural nutrients from the soil and replaces it with the artificial. It is like a human being depending on medication. If the medication is not there, then your health becomes very bad. That is just the biggest problem with synthetic fertilizer, which is never shared with farmers. So I think that has to be very clear. So if farmers understand the side effects of synthetic fertilizer, then they will perhaps wise up and think about other ways of growing crops without destroying their own soil. Now, soils, in terms of agriculture, actually the foundation of food production. When we talk about food security, we're not talking crops. We're talking about the soil that supports the crops and the animals. You know, that's what we mean. So if we're destroying it, in the short run, if you use synthetic fertilizer, you may think, you know, it's all good and the harvests have gone up. But in say 10 or so years, you realize that it is dead. So if you don't have money, you're not able to feed yourself. That is a problem. But the other thing is there is what is called an existential risk multiplier. In this case, if you're using something today and it looks good, eventually it becomes the really biggest problem that promotes or, you know, causes so many other risks to human life. I will digress a bit, but mention, I had started talking about genetically modified food. I think it's very important that we look at that at this time of COVID-19, because there is a relationship. Phenomena is related. It's interconnected. You cannot look at one and at the exclusion of the other one. Back in the days when we didn't have, a lot of popularization of genetically modified food, humans produced food. There were some distractions by, whether it is the worms or something like that. But they left certain bacteria on the crops that were consumed by humans and animals. And that part of that consumption of that increased the body immunity of human beings.
That's a natural way of
living. Now, eliminating that gives you something that looks pure, clean, but it deprives you of the very bacteria that is supposed to be, that's supposed to bolster, beef up the immunity of your body. So if we depend on genetically modified food, it doesn't matter whether you're harvesting them in large quantities, we are engaged in a process, to put it crudely, slow poison. We poison ourselves.
It's terrible.
Yeah. And the effect is what we see now. Whenever you have a virus that's naturally occurring, we are not able to contend with it. Because our body immune system has been so weakened that anything can kill you, can make. Now, those are the things that the producers or propagators of genetically modified foods do not talk about. Because I think over time, what most business is involved in, whether it's genetically modified foods or synthetic fertilizer doing, is they are more concerned about making profit at the expense of human life, which in itself is not a sustainable way of living. So, and they, because they invest so much in advertisements and all that, and we have become so busy, we do not stop to even listen and question. So the most, you know, those very critical messages, that, you know, that we need to be engaging with are not discussed. They are not debated. We ingest what is given to us, and we think it is good until we fall sick. Now, realizing that in our case in South Africa, we're working with cooperatives, community cooperatives, to produce food. We produce food ourselves, and producing food yourselves means you have to think about where you're getting the seeds, where you're getting the fertilizer, where you're getting any kind of material that you want to use to produce either crops or manage the animals. And so we support them in every way, selectively sourcing for seeds, utilizing organic fertilizer, training them, making them to understand the foundations in terms of the soil, in terms of the plants, doing conservation farming, or the reason why you have to do afforestation or do conservation for purposes of posterity or tomorrow. We live today, but tomorrow will always come. So you've got to think about that so that you're not seduced.
Exactly.
You know, you may have so much money, but nothing to buy it with. If everything that you need to buy is...
No.
Yes.
No. How do we stop these companies? I don't want to say the name, but there's a big name out there that comes right to my thought, you know, thinking right away. I know the name.
Yes.
From doing this. I mean, they're going to have to pass laws because it's disgusting. It's just... It's wrong, and it's, I mean, you're seeing so many more illnesses in children, and it just goes on and on, like what you said about what we do today affects our future, and we're seeing it. We're seeing it from the, it's just somehow it has to be done all over. You know, it's a shame that these companies wouldn't just stand up and say, hey, there's another way to do this and find another profit system, but... you're doing with the coal is amazing too, right? To be able to substitute some of the fertilizer in other ways.
Keeping the microbial alive, putting the life back into the soil is an absolute, this is a must. This is not maybe or we might have to do this. This is a must. It's imperative because of the compounding nature of the destruction. We have to balance that with a compounding nature with life back into that soil. And what Dr. Henry really brought out that I was listening is the implications coming from the dead soil. How are you going to feed yourself when your artificial doesn't show up? So you have no way to feed yourself. That's a huge, huge implication. So we're talking worldwide this is happening. This isn't just, you know, a spot region. This is worldwide. So if people can't feed themselves, what's going to happen? Dr. Henry spelled that out. It could be disastrous. So we're trying to avert all of this, and not many are listening. It's almost uncanny the response that we're getting that is not a positive response, but more quiet down. You need to quiet down. I'm getting
That's
letters
horrible.
And things like, don't talk on that subject. You know, like they're my boss or something. You know, we're all living on this planet together. It should be a collective agreement that we need to change and correct our errors and make a more viable educational system for the children to come. We've got to stop this separating people and dividing and collectively bringing people together and doing the work and the action. That's just the way I see it. And planetaryhealthproject.org is one of those venues that is really, really trying to bring action online. And like I say, we're starting in Louisiana, Planetary Health Project, to fight these hypoxics and the artificial fertilizers, at least do a test bed. See, that's a small, you know, $5-6 million project that can get this product into the ground, doing what it needs to do, and making sure that everything is given to us that is needed as a tool to earnestly really do this as a test bed project, then expand these results, bring it to the world, because everybody using artificial fertilizers doesn't mean it's right. So we need to establish third party. We've done the research with this product. The results are very, very good. So we want
to expand. Can somebody purchase the product now, or can they purchase the product now, or it has to be test bed first? Or
well, we are working on that. That's where we're having to do our fundraising and campaign. We've got a fundraiser going on right now with planetaryhealthproject.org. You can donate there.
Okay, so people can donate there. Okay.
Yes. It's imperative that we change our direction as quickly as possible. As Dr. Henry was saying, we've become basically desert makers, and it's not conducive to life. It's not sustainable, and it must change. And collectively, if we do it, we could do it in a year. We
could
make
really? Could we really do it in a year? I mean, we really could, right?
If we were serious about getting this change implemented, we could do it in a year. I'm sure Dr. Henry would agree with me that many of the changes that need to be done could be done very quickly. And Dr. Geith also, she knows the implications are growing. So if we stop this collective degradation and make it a collective life-giving to the soil, we could change it very quickly, and we could get the educational sub-base into the education for, like, say, the stewardship principles for 6 to 8 year olds that would become the green children of the future.
I love that.
And they would know.
Green children.
They would already know.
I love it.
They've got the education on it. But it's that serious. The children of that age need to start knowing. You know, how did we get to this point? See?
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah. I mean, it's just so, you know, that greed, that money thing, because I cannot believe that some of the people that, like, with talking about the genetically modified food, I mean, I just do not believe they don't know that this isn't good, because they've had to test, and it's sad. It's really sad, and it does need to stop. Education, knowledge is power. Yep.
We're talking levels of interference with biologics. How else are we doing that? well, we've got 5G, 6 in a rollout. No testing's been done other than they say it works. Okay, good. Let's put it on a pole and start broadcasting.
That's so bad. Those EMFs are terrible for us to be at that level.
Well,
yeah.
One of the things about millimeter wave in the 60 gigahertz frequency is it interferes or resonates with cell structure. That means biologics are getting changed along the line. And it shuts off certain cell performance, which the plant just stops growing. Now, these things have been proven. So 5G is a huge, huge abomination that is not to be allowed unless we can change these frequencies to modulate them differently. This the way it is now, the millimeter wave at the 60 gigahertz is not conducive to life. And this we state with absolute fact that it's not, and it's very dangerous also. And it's coming at us next, see? So it's almost like a systematic removal of life. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I believe in facts, evidence, truth, and I weigh those facts and evidence. So I'm not surmising here. I'm a mechanical engineer.
No.
I've studied the millimeter wave, and it can be very dangerous if you oscillate it at a certain frequency. So we're in trouble here in many, many levels. So there's got to be dialogue that gets the truth.
Right.
And we're trying to be that dialogue. There's several others. Diane Livingston, I just talked to her last night. She's working in Bali, and let me see what she said. She was talking about how we treat our planet. Hashtag as if life on Earth matters. That's one of her programs. Hashtag 1 trillion trees signed Davos 2020 is an excellent venue because she's been working at this for 50 years.
Really?
50 years been working at this and not getting a whole lot of traction. You know, that there's something wrong with that. And she's got a very good sustainable system. So There's something else going on.
That money, that's sickening. No, it's got to be, that's unbelievable. It's, and it seems to be happening so quickly.
Well, it's happening very quickly. It's actually speeded up. It's getting worse, yes.
We're going to help get the word out. We've got about 10 minutes left on our show. I know we have to do this again. I want to help get the word out too. It's always a pleasure. This is just mind-boggling when you think about how simple it could be as a matter of stopping the bad stuff, the chemicals, right? The improper for like getting life back into everything. Unbelievable. And the laws need to be changed. This is ridiculous. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
The planet is very resilient. We've got a huge reservoir called the oceans that have been taking up most of the poison. But it's reaching a point where that is not going to be helpful at all. The acidity rising and in the oceans. Dr. Geetha, you know about those things, the acidity. Can you give us some information on the acidity levels in oceans and the oxygen levels? They're falling. I've read something about that.
I wish to say like that. Marine ecosystems are fragile. and the fragmentation and the different types of pollutions are increasing globally. And along with this, over-exploitation, global warming, and climate change are another pressures for the degradation of the ecological quality of the ocean. And along with this, the dead zones and ocean acidification may create dangerous problems to marine life in future. And it may lead to sometimes a mass extinction of organisms in oceans. And it will affect the organisms living in land also. So that we are responsible to stop such environmental destruction. Actually, the solution is in our hand. We need funding and to move forward and apply to this our idea for the conservation of land and ocean. Basically, the solution need to start from the land soil. Yeah, that's our idea, and it will be helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah, it will be helpful to save the land and ocean ecosystem together. Yeah. That's my thought about, and I wish to summarize that we the humans live in harmony with nature. That is the solution for avoiding such problems, and we need to raise our voice against such environmental destruction, and we will follow the rules and regulations, etc. for the well-being of humanity and the health of our planet. Yeah.
Well, it says, Dr. Geetha Placco, thank you so much, Dr. Henry Wanyama and Dr. James Fuller. We're down to about 7 minutes. I want to keep on going, and it is such a pleasure having you all on. It's like our planet Earth was made so perfectly the way that it works naturally, and we're destroying it in the name of money, and it's not right. And I think a lack of knowledge, right? Because I'm sure, as Dr. Henry mentioned, Wanyama mentioned earlier, that many of the farmers buying these fertilizers do not know how bad it is, you know, because of the marketing and advertising. They're not told how bad it is to the soil and dangerous. The genetically modified food, people are constantly, I remember in Hawaii a few years ago, somebody called me because they were trying to vote, pushing one of the candidates and who was totally pushing the genetically modified food. And I said to the gentleman on the phone, do you really know what this does? Or he didn't know anything about it, how bad it was. And I don't think he listened to anything I said, of course, because he was campaigning for these people. I think education is knowledge. I mean, knowledge is power. And thank goodness we have the social networking and we have the, you know, other ways we can get out there, because this is just huge, and it's just such a sin to be, we were given such a beautiful planet, to destroy it so quickly. When you look at the years that how quickly it's happening, everybody can go to planetaryhealthproject.org to donate and to get more information as well. That's planetary, planetary, health, health, project, project, .org for more information. And wow, this just is amazing what y'all are doing, and I'm so thankful that it's going forward and forward and forward, and we need a lot more. You need a lot of help too. So I just want to put some last final, everybody's, we've got about 5 minutes. That's one thing on our show. I hate to do that near the end and just tell everybody, but it kind of runs off at the hour, and so I just want to give a little bit of notice.
Okay. Dr. Henry, how's it going with your organic? I know you got some organic trials that you got going on.
Dr. Henry, are you there? Dr. Henry? Oh, okay. It appears that Dr. Henry's still in, but I'm not sure. It appears on our back end that he is still in.
Okay. Well, anyways, I'm working closely with Dr. Henry also, and We're trying to get a study done for the feasibility in South Africa and Kenya. It's starting to get these soils what they need, proper mitigation, organic fertilizer, proper stewardship, the teaching of how we're going to treat our planet to the children, you know, having them getting them the best possible tools that they can use going forward to reverse the degradation, planting the trees. Diane Livingstone is one of those trillion trees.
Fantastic.
Yeah, she's on LinkedIn also, but she's got a program. She's just starting up a new program in Bali. And I'm on board with her. I endorse her. And I will be a part of that project also to turn things around. And then also in India with Dr. Geetha, I want to eventually get this methodology into India also. And Dr. Geetha will be the director over there. So if we all just stick together and we all collectively understand little things we can begin to do, the money will come later. The money will be there for us. And when we're proving the truth of what needs to be done, those values that will be shown out will be tremendous, because the reality will sink in, showing how we can do it. And the educational learning of why we need to do it. So the truth will get out, and we just keep loving it, doing our hard work, and don't get dismayed. We still have good venues and lots of positives, especially
Absolutely.
With this new organic fertilizer. We're going to call it Vital Grow U.S.
Vital Grow? Yep.
Yes. Vital Grow is not the United States. Vital Grow is us. You,
right.
Me, I, all of us. Vital Grow us. That's together. You know, it's the best way. Us is together. And many languages understand us. So that's why we named it Vital Grow U.S. and us, together.
Perfect. I love it. It has been a pleasure having everybody on, and we'll do this again as well and get the word out, put this out as many places as possible, and get more information. I'll tell you, when you listen to this, it makes you want to say, hey, this is, we need to do this 24/7. I mean, all of us, you know, and get the word out and help as much as possible. I'm so honored to have you all on today. Your work is just tremendous and saving our planet. And I want to thank you.
Yes, I wish to conclude that. I wish to conclude that education is a more powerful tool to aware the society.
Yeah.
And it need to be start from the childhood, and to the children and elders need awareness about such problems. And the government should implement such courses or start such courses for the whole people in society to avoid this or stop such environmental destruction for the survival of humanity, whole other living creature or biodiversity, and the ecological health of planet Earth. We need to give this planet as a healthy to our future generations on Earth. We are responsible to do this. Yeah, this is the time for doing like that. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Geetha Black. Thank you so much. And Dr. Henry Wanama and James Fuller, too. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.